to our last case, which is, no, not last, seventh case, Wells versus Coker. Ms. Mayo.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. Your Honor, the issue presented here is pretty straightforward. It is whether or not the district judge erred in her application of state law to the facts of the case and thereby erred in saying that my client was judicially stopped from asserting that he did not point a gun at Defendant Coker. The standard of review in this case is and should be de novo because the issue is the interpretation of state law, whether the trial judge correctly interpreted state law. Because it's an issue of an application of law, it is de novo. In the state of Illinois, a defendant admits every material element in an information whenever he pleads guilty. That's the law. Every material element in an information. In its brief, the city alleges that that it's okay in Illinois to allege a single offense by alleging more than one crime that would cause that offense. The city seems to assert that you can put a whole bunch of different crimes in to one information, and that's okay. Under Illinois law.
So if there's two material elements and one of them is unquestionably applicable and the other one you would say is not applicable, but he would still plead to that, even if it, I mean, as he did. Pointing the gun, in other words.
I don't agree that
shooting the gun up in the air is a material element.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And obviously pointing the gun
is not material. Therefore,
well, it's not material.
But pointing the gun would be a reckless endangerment to the safety of another person, wouldn't it?
No, I disagree, Your Honor.
That would not be a crime.
Not as it's alleged. What the state alleged was reckless conduct. Reckless conduct, we agree. Firing a gun in the air in a residential neighborhood.
Okay. So pointing a gun at a police officer is not reckless.
Not without more, Your Honor. We don't know whether the gun was loaded.
Right.
We don't know.
Think you're right. Because, of course, what happened is the police officer started shooting. That could be extremely dangerous, not just to the assailant,
yes.
But to anybody else, right?
If the police officer is shooting, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So that's reckless endangerment, right? Because by pointing the gun at the police officer, he precipitates a volley of shots, and that could hit someone else.
But Your Honor, that's not what my client pled to. I mean, I understand that it's in the information.
Of course, it's what he pled to, pleaded to, because that was what the judge said to him. He read him this charge, which included the pointing the gun as well as the shooting in the air.
That's correct, Your Honor, but the question that the judge ultimately asked was a compound question.
It's not a compound question. Look, could he then say when he's sentenced, you can't sentence... What if the judge said, look, I'm giving you a top-of-the-range sentence because, you know, you shot into the air, that was dangerous... And then pointing a gun at a police officer, that is really reckless. So I'm giving you this sentence. And you think at that point he can say, oh, wait a minute, Judge, I just pleaded guilty to shooting in the air. I didn't plead guilty to pointing a gun at anybody.
Your Honor, what I'm saying is that...
Is that your position?
No, Your Honor, what I'm
Look,
saying...
Look, you answer my question. Is that your position?
Please repeat
that
the question.
That when he's sentenced in the sentencing hearing, he can say to the judge, look, I didn't plead guilty to pointing a gun.
In the sentencing hearing?
Yes.
I guess he couldn't, but that's not the issue here. Your Honor, the issue is that...
It's an issue for me. Why can't he? You say that
saying yes, are you guilty, when the judge asked him, are you guilty? You're saying that that was not an admission that he pointed the gun.
At sentencing,
so
I think.
So why couldn't he retract it at the sentencing hearing?
Because there was no factual basis given, Your Honor. So at the sentencing hearing,
you're not answering my question. Could he retract that at the sentencing hearing?
Yes, because there was no factual basis given.
I don't agree with you. I mean, that's ridiculous because you plead guilty, and then it turns out that at the sentencing hearing, you retract half of your plea.
I don't believe he would be retracting the plea. He would be retracting that particular fact.
Well,
you
pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that was pleaded down from a felony.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So he had every reason to plead guilty to that misdemeanor. And I suppose if he said, well, I'll plead guilty to that misdemeanor, I must retract out that pointing the gun. Now,
Your
maybe
Honor,
that would have been an interesting discussion when he pleaded guilty, but I think he wanted that misdemeanor as opposed to a felony.
Your Honor, I don't think he realized that it happened. They amended the charge the day he pled, the day he walked into court to take this
plea. The judge
read
it to him, though.
That's correct, Your
the
Honor.
The entire charge, which includes the pointing the gun at the officer.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So how could he not understand?
My client has never been in trouble before. My client was sitting in a courtroom being charged with crimes. He's never had that happen before. He didn't follow it all.
What led to this episode of his shooting?
Up in the air?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was celebrating New Year's. It's a common practice on the East Side. Yes, it's a common practice on the East Side.
So when you say he never got into trouble, you don't define shooting into the air as trouble.
He
presumably had done that before.
Yes, and in his deposition he admitted it. Yes.
So in fact he's committed a number of crimes.
Never been charged with a crime, Judge. He didn't know it was a crime.
But he's admitted it's a crime. He's admitted he's committed previous crimes.
But at the time that they arrested him that night, he didn't know that what he was doing was a crime. In his deposition,
well,
he was asked.
Some people don't know murder is a crime.
I understand, Your Honor. I understand.
So for you to win your civil case, you've got to show that he didn't point the gun at the officer, correct?
Because if he did,
the officer's response was reasonable.
Right, that's correct.
So to win your case, it seems to me you have to undermine his state court conviction.
I disagree, Your Honor. The reason that I assert this is not a material fact is because of what the city argues. The city argues that it can allege more than one crime in one information, and then it also alleges that this pointing the gun.
You're not challenging the conviction. You're not going back saying this was a duplicitous charge.
That's where I'm going, Your Honor.
Well, you haven't done that.
I'm trying to get there.
Conviction still stands.
I'm trying to get there.
You can go there in the state court, but not in your 1983 case. I think you're trying to undo a conviction through a 1983 action.
Well, Your Honor, that's the point, though. That's why it's not material. If this is duplicitous and therefore void, and it's void ab initio.
Wait a second. You're bringing a collateral attack on the conviction?
No, sir.
Oh,
I'm
yes,
arguing.
You are. Yes, you are. Because
No.
I'm asking today.
A different question. I thought, in answer to Judge Tinder, I thought it said you're planning to.
No, sir, I didn't say
this conviction?
No, sir, I didn't say that. The judge asked me if that would be...
That's the effect of what you're doing here.
It could be.
If you win your civil case, the state court conviction...
I think I would have to file a motion and ask the judge to vacate
it. Well, that sounds like a Heck versus Humphrey problem.
Right.
Your Honor, the point is that because...
I mean, don't you have a Heck versus Humphrey problem?
Sir, I don't know Heck versus Humphrey.
Heck versus Humphrey. Okay, Heck versus Supreme Court actually affirming us. Held that you can't bring a civil rights suit if winning that suit would establish a fact that nullified a previous conviction, right? So if you won your civil case and had proved by a preponderance of the evidence that the police officer that your client had not pointed a gun at the police officer, that would then be the premise to get the conviction set aside.
No, sir. It is
because after all, if you carried the burden of proof by preponderance of evidence, that would show that there wasn't proof beyond a reasonable doubt that the gun had been pointed at him.
No, sir. It is not a Heck versus Humphrey problem at all, because either way. pointing the gun in the air, firing it in a residential neighborhood, that's reckless. We admit he did that. His conviction stands because he did that. Whether or not he pointed the gun at the officer is not material to whether or not he was pointing that gun in the air and whether or not that was reckless.
Could it have influenced his sentence?
It was a negotiated plea, sir.
The negotiation included the admission that of pointing at the...
My client wasn't aware of that. In his deposition, he was asked, didn't you know that this was in the information? And he said, what? I didn't know that that was there. He didn't know, sir.
Well, that's his lawyer's fault.
Perhaps.
Were you his lawyer?
No, sir.
We had a lawyer.
He did.
Well, maybe that was malpractice.
We're following up on it. but, Your Honor, look, the issue is that this is not material to whether or not pointing the gun in the air, firing the gun in the air in a residential neighborhood was reckless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And what the city has admitted is that they have added a different crime into the same information. So if the charging instrument is duplicitous, it's void. I don't think that it is duplicitous because they use the conjunctive.
You may be right, but until that conviction is set aside, you cannot bring an action that the factual basis of which would undermine the...
But, sir, that's the point. If it's void, then it can clearly not be material. If it's duplicitous, then the fact of pointing...
But it's not void.
No, it's void, sir. People versus Eagle Brooks, 151 L2D.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Mann. Ms. Morgan?
Thank you, Your Honors. This case is the quintessential case of judicial estoppel.
No, it isn't. I don't think it's judicial estoppel at all. My understanding of judicial estoppel, this brief's really surprised me, is that if you prevail in a litigation, you can't, in a subsequent litigation against the same party arising from similar facts, turn around and repudiate the ground on which you won and say, oh yeah, I won, but that was a mistake, and really the opposite is what's correct, and therefore that's judicial estoppel. We've had cases like that. This guy lost both times. I don't know what the estoppel is. I think what you're really saying is that it could be Heck versus Humphrey. It could be just like res judicata, right? He admitted that he pointed the gun, and he admitted that as part of a, you know, plea, and he said that to the judge. He said that's what he did. When he's guilty of that charge, which includes pointing the gun, he said that. And your argument, I would say, was that he can't. He's bound by it in this related litigation, the civil counterpart to the criminal case. I don't know why I have to bring in judicial estoppel and standards of review and detail, but
it certainly is our position.
It certainly is not the core judicial estoppel case, which, as I say, is the one where a litigant repudiates a ground that he prevailed on related litigation.
Certainly, Mr. Wells is deliberately changing his position to serve the needs of the moment as far as what kind of litigation he is in.
You didn't argue Heck versus Humphrey in your brief here, did you?
I did not.
And you didn't do it below?
I did not.
So you've waived it, haven't you?
Apparently. Your Honor, I would point out Ms. Mayo makes some importance out of the fact that Mr. Wells was not fairly and understandably understanding his plea in the state court. The record would establish that he was represented by two attorneys in that criminal case, that they negotiated his plea in this case for over 3 months, that the misdemeanor information was filed in anticipation of the plea negotiations that day. His attorney did not object to the entry of the information when it was read in open court. The court did make inquiry into Mr. Wells' ability to understand his education and other background.
Had the civil suit been filed before the plea in the criminal case?
I don't think so.
I'm curious as to whether the state decided to throw in that pointing the gun, anticipating the civil suit.
I believe it was filed after, but I'm not. couldn't swear to that.
It's curious.
And the court also asked Mr. Wells if he was happy with his representation from his two attorneys. He responded yes, and he never filed a motion to vacate his plea that he was dissatisfied with it. So I think the real question before you is was the allegation that he pointed the firearm at Officer Coker a material fact tending to establish an element of the offense of reckless conduct? And it's the city's position that, indeed, it is. Pointing a gun at a police officer certainly endangers the safety of that police officer.
Well, only if there's a bullet in the gun, right?
Exactly. And, you know, evidence...
So apparently, we don't know... Do we know what kind of gun it was? We do know what kind of gun it was. Was it 9mm? Was it a revolver, or was it a...
Colt 9mm.
Semi-automatic? Pardon?
It was a Colt 9mm, I believe. 12 rounds were in it.
It
testified it was loaded with 12 rounds, and that he had fired 5 or 6 in the air prior to being shot.
I see. So there was... it was loaded.
It was very much loaded the time he pointed at Officer Coker. So for those reasons, we'd ask the court to uphold the motion for summary judgment.
And on what basis... Are you asking judicial estoppel, or what is the basis?
That he should be denied the ability to, in one court, admit that he pointed a gun at Officer Coker, and in his civil suit, then turn around and deny that he did.
Right. And does that concept have a name or something we
judicata.
Call it by? Res judicata? Right.
Res judicata, judicial admission, admission. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Mayo, your time has expired, but you can have another minute also to answer the question that Judge Tinder asked about the whether the civil suit was filed before the plea.
The civil suit was filed after the criminal case was concluded, and in further answer, there is a fax the day of the plea from the state to the city saying, here is a copy of, so yes, it was absolutely done. To help the city.
How severely was he injured?
Severely. He was shot 3 times. His hip was shattered, went through a ureter tube, went through his arm. He doesn't have the full use of his arm. I mean, it was
so
bad.
So he has permanent injuries?
Permanent, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Are there any other questions for me, Your Honors? Thank you, judges.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Mayo. And